Should have got some water, but I guess I'll survive.
All right, good morning. I will call us to order for our regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, June 23rd, and ask if everyone would please join the Board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on our agenda today is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? Seeing no one moving immediately the microphone, we'll move on to agency reports. And our first report is from the Volunteer Center of Story County. And I think, is Ann here?
Yep.
Outstanding. Come on up, Ann. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Is the cordless on?
Switch. Okay.
Just so we have you recorded for all posterity.
Gee, thanks. Just what I always wanted. Good morning. I'm Ann Owens, the Executive Director of the Volunteer Center of Story County. I've been in the position a year and 1 week today, so thank you very much. This is Ashley Maurer, our Generation Coordinator, who also is in the office with me as well. So we make up the Volunteer Center, so we're happy to be here. With us as well in the back, but you only have two chairs up here, is our summer intern, Katie Davis, who is the Summer Learning Coordinator here at the Nevada Summer Enrichment and Feeding Programs going on. So she was able to, it's running smoothly enough, we were able to spring her today for the experience. So that's awesome. As I said, it's been an exciting first year at the Volunteer Center. To give you an idea of some of our numbers, we have 4,416 registered volunteers in our database. If you figure you don't have to register to access a volunteer opportunity and find out what's out there, which we figure for every person that does, one person doesn't, we're looking at between 8,000 and 9,000 people using our services a year, with probably half of less, right around 50%, I would estimate, are Iowa State students. So same number of county residents using that as well. And that's everything from ongoing opportunities, the special one-day projects we do, or other special one-day projects that other agencies may fill in as well. So very excited about that number. And in the last year, 293 of those volunteers were brand new. 293 of those registrations were brand new. So 300 people over the year. That's one a day. I'm thinking that's pretty good and pretty inspiring for people wanting to serve and help make their communities better. In addition, we completed our 3-year strategic plan for 2017, and it's only a 5-page, slightly ambitious document, but we're going to make it happen. I think as of our report to the board last week, I would say we're about a third of the way through it, so I think we're right on track for that. So we're very excited about that. We've rolled out a brand new referral system this year in April compared to what we were using before. This one is much more clean, much more responsive on the website, much easier to navigate for both our agencies and our volunteers to use. And if you haven't checked it out, I would say visit our website, vcstory.org, click on the volunteer button, and check it out yourself. It's absolutely awesome. In addition to the numbers for volunteers, we have about 135 active partner agencies. All total in our database are 228, I believe, might be 225. But 135 of them use us regularly. On average, there's at least 65 agencies that have current positions, so on a monthly basis. So I think, again, we've got plenty of opportunities, and those range from environmental, youth, elderly, housing, childcare, you name it, it's probably there. Animals, horses, just across the board, a variety of different types and activities. In terms of our large projects, we ran or coordinated with partner agencies 8 different what we call advanced events or the community service projects over the last year. 3,700 volunteers participated, completing 21 projects. All total, they put in over 11,400 hours for an estimated economic impact at the independent sector's rate of volunteer service of $20 and change at $275,431 for the year in terms of just those eight community projects. As part of our strategic planning process and the next big initiative we're taking on, we took this year and spent some time and calculated that for every dollar invested in Story County and every volunteer hour invested in the Volunteer Center specifically generates a $6.61 return on that volunteer investment. And that's just our volunteers, not the volunteers we refer on out to other agencies.
$6 back for every dollar invested.
Every dollar and every hour.
Okay.
So when you look at the staff as Ashley and I, those volunteer hours are what make the big difference in helping us accomplish all we're doing. One other neat thing that we were able to kick off this year and get running is the poverty simulations that we have done. We did one on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Supervisor Clinton, in April in partnership with the Leadership Aims class.
So Wayne said you guys were mean to him. You wouldn't let him get to his job, and he had trouble making rent every month.
I think transportation was a bit challenging for him, and I'm not sure he had all his monthly expenses covered by his allowed income.
So, I did not. It was an eye-opening experience.
I would say, though, that you weren't the one who forgot to buy their medication for the child with attention deficit disorder that took his role seriously.
Yeah.
So small blessings in different places.
Right.
So, but no, that is a great program, and we're very happy to be able to offer that. We offered the three. Two were here in Story County. The third, the students at the University of Northern Iowa reached out to us because they were looking for one to do, and we were able to take it up to them.
Cool.
So that was very cool. Martin Luther King, it was interesting, as Supervisor Clinton said, it's an eye-opening experience. We had a lot of community leaders, community participants at the one in April. The one in January was all Iowa State students, and there's definitely a different perspective on what it takes to live your life and navigate the resources and what all it is. The students were all very good about getting to their jobs and getting their checks to the bank. They managed not to buy groceries for the month. We had several cases of abandoned and neglected children that were left and not sent to child care or school by the Iowa State students. And we didn't have as much of that with the community leaders and folks out there who have already had the experience of paying their rent and paying for their garbage and all of those things. So that is our preliminary report. If anyone has any questions. Oh, I forget that. I did forget. We are undertaking and working towards certification as a service enterprise. This is a national initiative through the Points of Light Foundation, Corporation on National Community Service. And it's basically working towards making sure that we ourselves are integrating sound volunteer management practices and utilizing and partnering with volunteers throughout all levels of our organization, not just at the front level in our days of service or at our leadership level on boards and committees. So we've identified an additional 15 volunteer positions that we're hoping to fill over the next year, and we expect that this will expand our programs and our reach, and we hope to see savings in our overhead budget and being agencies that are already certified are seeing they're able to expand their reach and their capacity with 40% to 60% less of their overhead budget that they were using by integrating these volunteers. And we hope to be applying for that certification by October and in 2016 be applying for a hub to facilitate other agencies in the organization in the community going through that process so that they too can see those savings. So.
Outstanding. Questions?
No, just again, outstanding program, service, the number of people that are involved in volunteerism and what they do for the community speaks for itself. So,
thank you.
And thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
Well said. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item is our DHS quarterly report. Hi there.
Good morning.
bring another new face with me every time
I
come.
I see that.
Okay, good morning.
Morning.
You received our quarterly report. Just a little bit of info for you. We are still making attempts to fill further positions in our office. We have a request to the Department of Management right now with the state for another income maintenance worker here in the Story County office. And as we kind of organize ourselves and clean up some space, we believe we may be able to free up another cubicle or two and maybe put some more bodies here. So we're very excited about that at this point. So we're working on that. Everything is pretty status quo on our social work side. Things are going along very well. We recently were informed by the state that we are now going to implement statewide a paperless assessment process. So the child protective assessment piece, which is the first step when we are introduced into families' lives and we assess whether or not they require ongoing services, is going paperless. And so for the counties, it's good because that means we spend less money on paper and toner and all of those supplies that go into creating these files. So we're very excited about that, and we have some new equipment that will allow us to do the scanning and everything that we need. So I think we're here in Story County, we feel like we're very set up very well for that.
Well, that's the most important thing you said, the new equipment, because state agencies have found out when we start talking about data and transfer of data and availability, they're still in the dark ages in terms of having the upgrades in place. So That's encouraging.
Yes, I have other offices that I'm struggling with, and that Story County is my star, so I will definitely give you kudos for that. And then additionally, just I want to give a little shout-out to our income maintenance side. Very proudly, we are processing benefits for your constituents, the people of Story County and across the state, in a timely manner. So we are not behind. We are giving everybody all their benefits as needed when they apply. So we are not causing any harm to any of the families, and we're very proud of that because it's been a bit of a struggle with the influx with the new health care programs that came out. It was a bit of a struggle, but we are on a good path right now, and I think that things are very strong and that we feel really good moving into the future. And then with me today, speaking about future, as you know, Pat Penning retired earlier this year. Mike McEnroy here is with me, and he has been named the service area manager for DHS. And I brought him with me to introduce himself and kind of give you a little bit of background.
Pronounce that again, McEnany?
McEnroy.
McEnroy.
Yep.
Okay.
Again, my name is Mike McEnroy. I'm with the Department of Human Services. I've been with the department about 18 years. I've been a frontline worker. I've been a social worker, too. I've been a child abuse assessment worker. I've been a service supervisor. I was a community liaison, which is Darren Thompson currently, so I've had that job. I'm sat on the DCAP boards. I was a social work administrator for about 8 years, and now I'm the service area manager. So I'm pretty excited about the opportunity. Two things I do just want to let you guys know really quickly, at least for this county. I've been up to meet Judge Owen. And I don't know, I'm assuming you're familiar with Judge Owen. You guys have a great judge for juvenile court up here. I want to let you guys know that. The other thing that I want to kind of recognize is that we have a really good relationship with the county attorney's office here in Story County. And for us, that really helps things to move forward. It helps us to kind of resolve sometimes really complicated issues. It doesn't always mean that we're in agreement, but we're able to kind of sort through things and come up with a really good solution. And so I just want to really kind of thank the county attorney's office for all their support and efforts to kind of work with us. So.
Well, we have a great county attorney's office, and everything that you like about Judge Owen, he learned while he was a member of our county attorney's office.
And just so you know, we have a, you know, it's kind of hit and miss throughout the service area, the relationship we have the county attorney's office. And some of it in our more rural areas, they don't have full-time county attorneys. But the county attorneys that really do take the time to meet with us on a regular basis and, again, to offer that input, things seem to really run much more smoothly in those counties, and I think we get better results for kids. And so, again, I know it's time-consuming in the upfront, but I think in the long term it's time well spent, and I just really appreciate them kind of taking that time to work with us. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, welcome.
Yep.
We had a great relationship with Pat. We look forward to having a great relationship with you. And we appreciate everything you guys do, and let us know as we can be of assistance.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
That takes us to consideration of minutes from June 16th.
Move approval.
Second.
Any corrections or additions? Looks like you guys didn't go that long.
Yeah, I don't know why I tried to filibuster, but it didn't work.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes passed. Consideration of personnel actions as listed.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda. Please add utility permits 1574 and 1575.
Move approval with noted additions.
Second.
Toot.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda passes. Additional items. Actually, we got back-to-back items, which feels a little like, you know, building a nice Lego structure out in the carpet and then pulling the carpet right out from under it. But we'll go get through them. Presentation of the Story County Justice Center Courtyard and Security Addition. We have Cal and Jeff Harris, who are going to present this to us. And let me just say, from my limited role in this, these two gentlemen have done a phenomenal job dealing with those that are going to be impacted and trying to present a plan that not only addresses the very real needs we have in terms of security and office space, but does it in a cost-effective way that at least it was our expectation until recently that we'd be able to do without utilizing any taxpayer funding. Yes.
We brought it back.
What?
All right. Thank you.
Light it back behind.
All right.
I'll get
it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Cal Pearson, Director of Facilities Management for Story County. Stay with me today is Jeff Harris from Roseland Mackey Harris Architects, Ames, Iowa. Before I turn the presentation over to Jeff, I'd like to give a brief background of how we got to the point today, followed by comments from the county attorney. First of all, I would like to say I believe Story County has some of the finest county facilities in the state. Even though we have excellent facilities, it is an ongoing process of evaluation and adjustment to meet the challenge of keeping a safe, secure environment with adequate space for public, staff, building infrastructure, and office equipment. In early 2012, an area was evaluated at the Human Service Building in Ames to address the need for future space, which was determined as not a practical long-term solution. Since then, our need for immediate and future space combined with courthouse security concerns has turned our focus to the Justice Center as a way to solve both issues of security and space in one project. In January 2014, we contracted with Roseland Mackey Harris Architects to meet with the county attorney, sheriff, Supervisor Sanders, facilities management, information technologies, and the federal marshals to gather information and come up with schematic designs of a combined project proposal to resolve our foreseeable concerns of both courthouse security and space needs at the Story County Justice Center. And with that, I'd like to turn the mic over to the county attorney for his comments.
Please.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone in attendance, first to the board and to Cal and to Mr. Harris. I was going to bring an old letter from a county attorney in 1955 that I've saved as a part of the records of the county attorney's office and use it as an example, but I forgot to bring it with me this morning. And basically, it had a dispute between the county attorney and the Board of Supervisors and his one room in the courthouse that he was given for space, and it wasn't adequate. And he took his typewriter and his chair, and he went over to the Masonic Building and was going to rent it where he had his private office, because at that time he was part-time. I certainly cannot and would not even begin to have those kinds of same sentiments toward you, gentlemen. I mean, you've been extremely generous to my office and have been keenly aware of and considerate of our space problems. And over the years, you've given my office, in terms of the benefits to the assistants in order to help me to keep good assistants working for the county, you've done a lot to help me in that regard as well. And as you're all aware, just recently, of course, in the last minutes of the legislative session, the state court administrator apparently was able to pass through the legislature and on behalf of the court an amendment which is going to severely has the potential to severely limit the amount of income that the county attorney is going to be able to recover through the fine recovery program, or at least it seems that way. And so, as things go in life, it's sort of like you said, Mr. Sanders, you're having the rug pulled out from under you at the very last second, when we have done all of this. And Mr. Harris has done a wonderful plan. I mean, I think his design, and along with Cal's input in terms of taking advantage of the old courtyard area, which has been a wasted space, and trying to combine that with a new entrance design for courthouse security, all of this has now been placed in jeopardy. And what's most distressing, of course, is that the actions of the court and the legislature have been without opportunity for input again, and we've seen this recently, and now it's been repeated, and it's, I think, impact across the state will be severely felt. There are many Iowa counties, just as Story County, that have been very diligent in the fine recovery program, that have brought in millions of dollars and are bringing in millions of dollars, and doing that in a very efficient manner, because we are vested in it. It's my job as the county attorney to ensure that judgments are enforced, and I can assure you that no private hire debt collector is going to have the same interest nor carry forth the duty with the same vigor or with the same resolve, because they're just simply going to be paid. They're going to be paid regardless of whether they're successful or not. But having said that, of course, in good conscience, I can't sit before you at this moment and advise you to proceed, because of what I have read in terms of the potential of this bill to impact my ability to produce the kinds of monies that are going to be, well, we're to be expected to be used to pay this off. I mean, it's just, it's devastating in that respect. And so I don't think Mr. Harris's efforts have been for naught. I don't think Cal's efforts have been naught. And all of the time that you have spent and this have been for naught, and my time have been for naught. There may be at some point in the future an opportunity to take advantage of these plans. I'm skeptical that the court will be successful in this venture with a private company. But that may take some time to resolve itself. And you know, frankly, we don't have the time. There's only a few days left, and not just the other day, Jessica and I, my first assistant, went down to speak with legal counsel for the governor, and so did Wayne. Wayne was nice enough to attend it with us, and I'd have to say that the governor's in a tough spot, and we understand that. We understand all of that. So, in terms of things that have happened over the span of my career, this is just another one of those events, and I don't look at it as a failure. I don't see things as in that light, because I've had so many matters that have not materialized as I would have liked them to, but you just press on. And if I can wax philosophical for a second, there's a great poem that I memorized years ago. And one of the lines in the second stanza as it ends is, it's sort of a poem about not letting the ups and downs of life get you down. And it says that if you can see the things that you've given your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. Meaning just that. So, I am extremely grateful for everything that brought us to this point. And, Mr. Harris, I think your designs are just wonderful. And, Cal, I really appreciate your cooperation. You've been great to work with us and understand, our space problems. And Jessica, all of her work with you. And I think we'll endure. We'll just try and do this. But I really can't, like I said, I can't recommend it to you.
Well, and Stephen, I really appreciate that. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, Mr. Chair, let me first of all comment to both Stephen and Jessica and both to Cal and Mr. Harris for the work done. After our meeting yesterday at the governor's office and thinking about, where this project is and what the challenges lie ahead, I think, as he just alluded to, he kind of, said he couldn't in good conscience recommend that we kind of go ahead. My take on this is we've invested a lot of time and effort in the strategic planning of the future needs of the county attorneys, space needs plus security needs, and just looking at the security needs and challenges that we know is out there that we are going to be looked upon by the judicial system to put in place some form of security. I think we may have to slow down just a little bit. Our timetable may not be there, but I think it's time for us to kind of pull our heads together and look for alternatives in terms of funding and way to stage and way to continue this project, because I think it's not only is the space needs for his office involved here, there is the security aspect of it that I don't think we have a choice of not addressing. Mm-hmm. And so while I appreciate where you're coming from, it may still be more cost effective if we can find alternate ways to move this project forward to continue to do so rather than just kind of saying, no, we've got a glitch right now. The funds that you were going to generate through your fine recovery would have been huge. I mean, it would have certainly been a key component of moving forward. I think it's just something that I'd like to see the supervisor continue to work with you and work through what other options we may have as we move forward in trying to accommodate what we've already started. And I want to thank you for working as the liaison for the board closely with them in this project. Paul and I, we've kind of been distant from it. We've kind of seen and heard bits and pieces of the report. So now we're kind of seeing the information that is out here. And I guess I'm an optimist. There's a bump in the road, but I can see that if we stay true to our course, like we've done in many other areas, that we can find a solution to continue. So I don't want to say that let's just say maybe let's put things on hold completely. Let's just sit down and go back to the drawing board and look at how we can continue to fund this project some form of completion. It may take longer than we want, but I think it is still possible.
Yeah, Wayne, I think that is just really, really well said, and I think you're right on the money. It does not change anything in terms of the issues that we were trying to address. We still have security concerns with our courthouse. We do. We still have unbelievably wasted space in that old smoker's courtyard. We still have a severe shortage in space for our county attorney, as well as a disjointed operation by virtue of having to maintain two different offices. None of those things change. None of them change. I would add in, we have problems in conducting some depositions with individuals that are currently serving in the county jail. We've got issues that are still sitting there before us that I think that Jeff did a phenomenal job pulling everybody together and trying to address all those issues here. What we don't know, what is today uncertain that wasn't uncertain, is how we would pay for it. And I'll just say this, up to this point, every time I've talked about this, I have said reliably, no taxpayer funding to be utilized on any of this. I'm going to have to drop that part of the spiel, because the reality is we've got issues that we've got to deal with. I think Stephen's 100% right. We don't know exactly what impact. First of all, we don't know for certain that the governor's going to sign it. My expectation is he probably will, but we don't know that for certain yet. Secondly, if he signs it, we don't know exactly what impact it's going to have on our operations. And it's bigger than just that, because it becomes a space and staffing issue as well. I mean, we have designed space here to accommodate a fines recovery program.
Right.
If that's not needed, then we're going to have to address that as well. So there are some things that are in flux, but what's not in flux is this or something like this is a much-needed renovation that we better keep pushing ahead on, maybe not quite in the time frame that we've laid out to this point. But what we're supposed to be doing right now is talking to Jeff about this outstanding plan that he's pulled together, all the conversation. And then, Jeff, I'm sorry that the conversation starts with us saying, oh, yeah, now everything's up in the air, but that's the reality of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this till just now.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. That's things change and things develop. So, and thanks to you, Rick, and to Cal, and Stephen, and Jessica. Like I said, they've spent a lot of time going through these things and looking at the plans, evaluating things. We've been probably working on this for 8 months or 9 months now, involving the Sheriff's Department as well, and them evaluating the plans in the areas and the vestibule and their offices as well. So, it's been a great effort so far.
So when I first met with Jeff, I asked for a few things. I asked for utilization of the smoker's courtyard. I asked for something that would create more activity and visibility for the front entrance, something that would address security concerns for those coming and going from the courthouse. And I asked that it all be done at a price tag that we felt like we could swing based on what we then thought was going to be available funding. From that, Jeff started having meetings with all the individuals that he just laid out, and that is how we moved through to get to this plan.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, well, this is the existing plan, then, of that, the courtyard and the entry area of these existing Justice Center, the kind of three sets of triple doors there that bring into the building in through a somewhat of a security vestibule right now, and then the back set of three doors that exit out into that smoker's courtyard. The space, there's a lot of space there. It's not very well utilized right now. It also has really no visual supervision at all of that area from anybody that's positioned within the Justice Center at all. And then the Sheriff's Department, obviously, is to the top of the page there, and then the doors at the bottom continue into the court's lobby and into the courthouse. So the plan we have developed has kind of filled that area on first floor. We looked at that courtyard area right now is about 2,600 square feet of open space. The current county attorney staff is about 35. I think initially our plan was to try and get as many of those people into that new space as we could, again, to keep them in one consistent area. As it's developed, we haven't necessarily been able to do all of that, just simply because of the available area. And I've got a pointer here. I can zoom in on some of this, but I'll... So basically, we're creating a new entrance, a new vestibule, and we'll go into that in a little more detail as we talk about the input that the Sheriff's Department had. But then we come into a new common lobby space. It's a little smaller. We're taking part of about half of the existing lobby space. But then we tried to create an area here where we have that find recovery window and somewhat reception area, greeting area, meeting area for the county attorney's office. They would have people positioned, here, one or two personnel that are greeting people, and also then giving them some visual supervision of people that are coming and going from that vestibule. From that point, we have two separate waiting areas for the county attorney's office. We have an area here that we're using for victims, witnesses, and then an area above that that is used for defendants and other people. So we're trying to keep those people separate so that they don't have an awkward situation where they have people in a waiting room waiting to meet that are obvious sides of a legal matter. So then coming back to that area, we have just a series of meetings rooms where they can meet with people, meet with either side, defendants or victims and witnesses. And then we have a staircase then that leads to the second floor of that space that is where all the actual attorney offices and support staff are housed. Right now in this current plan, we have a couple of rooms downstairs that are not necessarily assigned. Those can be utilized as additional meeting spaces if it's needed or as office positions. But then the last element of this first floor plan are these two rooms, which are immediately adjacent to the connector that leads from the jail to the courthouse. What we're creating there are a couple of larger deposition rooms that the county attorney can use to depose defendants that are in custody. Those areas would be secure and we would be controlled by the jail, so we kind of have a common vestibule between those two and then a couple of larger deposition rooms. Then county attorney can enter from the other side, and we kind of bridge that security issue right now. They're taking some of those defendants into the Sheriff's Department, into a conference room, or I think a break room that the Sheriff's Department uses, which is a security issue. So we're trying to avoid that problem and also create a more convenient connection for those people and ability for the county attorney to meet with them still within a secure facility. There are a couple of other areas here, basically, which we're using, and we'll go into that again a little more when we talk about the sheriff's area. Some repositioning of sheriff's department personnel and also a larger security area and IT and server area that are here that connect back into the jail.
An expanded file room space for the sheriff, which is much needed.
Yeah, I was going to kind of go into that sheriff's area as well. And more or less that covers the county attorney space on first floor and the shared areas. The sheriff's department then, we're really bringing and extending out into what is currently the vestibule space. That again, gets a sheriff's department receptionist, administrative person that's kind of at that point of entry that has visibility to the entire vestibule and can see people as they come and go there. As a part of that, we're able to move kind of the sheriff's department security, or basically their support staff. If I go back to this initial plan, you know, they're located here now. They basically just have an open office area where they have 6 to 8 employees. If we look at the new plan, we're essentially moving those people forward kind of into the waiting area that is currently for the sheriff's department and also part of the vestibule as well. What that does is allow us then to free up space here, which is currently a workspace, a copy space, and the sheriff's administrative assistance office. We can move those people forward into that current open office area, and then it gives us a large room that we can open up for records. The sheriff's department has a huge records issue, storage of records. I think they have a lot of things stored off-site right now. Those areas are continuing to grow. So basically we're taking 3 rooms here and turning that into a large storage area for records. aside from that, that's really the major change to the Sheriff's Department. It's really just a matter of, like I say, moving those people forward to create that space. So then the third component, really, of the first floor area is this front entry vestibule. Another major concern for the Sheriff's Department is they have X-ray and security equipment that they can't leave permanently positioned in that space because they have to move it just because they don't use it all the time. They use it occasionally when they have a high-profile trial. The thoughts are they maybe tend to use that equipment more as of the future, as Rick alluded to, the things that come about with security issues and as that becomes more prevalent. So we're really duplicating the entrance vestibule, but then the east portion of that plan is an area where we can set up an X-ray equipment for baggage check. We can also set up the walkthrough metal detector. We're going to have basically a secure door that can close here, more or less like a glass mall front or something that can, when we're not using those security features, that door can be closed. People will continue to use the vestibule and come directly into the courthouse as they do today, more or less. But then on the days when they have trials, when they have issues where they need the security set up, we can open that area. We can essentially close these doors, and we bring all these people through this area. We complete the search and the X-ray of their baggage. We have a private room here in case they need to pull somebody aside for a more private search. They can come into this room and do that. Then we also have a series of doors here that would open, similar glass doors that can slide back, and then people would come into the courthouse through that direction. They would continue to exit the courthouse through the vestibule as they're leaving. We did have, as Rick alluded, both Homeland Security and Secret Service and trying to think of the third department that reviewed the plan with the help of John from the Sheriff's Department. The U.S. Marshal's Office reviewed it as well, so we talked through issues with them on security. They were more or less supportive of this plan as we had set it up. Anything else there I missed? I think that covers kind of that first floor area in the plan that we have. So, again, the new floor square footage there is about probably 2,400 square feet. We are leaving a portion of the smoker's courtyard open so that we don't disrupt the windows and the things that exist in the current Justice Center. We have some jury rooms and some judges' offices there that we don't want to eliminate their view to the exterior. So we do have kind of a small sliver here of courtyard or atrium space. We are going to roof that over based on Cal's concerns about debris and keeping that area clean and secure.
But that area also allows us to pull some natural light in to the first
floor. Right.
That
allows us to bring natural light, leave the natural light that exists in the current Justice Center, but then also bring natural light into this new space on both the second and first floors. So we roll on down to the second floor. So then second floor area, essentially we're enclosing that area. We're putting a second story above the current entry vestibule, and then we are extending that over the current maintenance and equipment and mechanical rooms that are on the north side of that addition.
Yeah, the green mile would run right underneath that.
Yeah, the green mile is essentially right along this edge here. But by coming up, we can get above that space. And again, in an effort to try and get, we looked at the total square footage just to get all of their primary staff in that area. We do have to extend out over that one-story portion to the north. We've kept that addition away from the one-story portions of the sheriff's office. This was kind of an effort we would work through with our structural engineer to stay away from that. Which is really the reason that this section is a little narrower. That allows us to not impact the existing one-story roof of the sheriff's department, not have to restructure that to take additional snow loads and things of those nature. So we really end up with a little narrower. It's about 40 feet wide on second floor. But it does get all 11 offices that the attorney's office has as a full-time attorney staff and then support staff really more or less in the center of that area. Again, we have a couple of basically unassigned spaces, so we have some room for growth there on second floor going forward. Some of that they may have already filled, but when we started out, we had a few extra spots there. again, that sliver of daylight space between the two buildings that allows daylight to continue into the Justice Center on second floor as well as into this open office area on the second floor of the new addition. The lobby and entry portion is just a one-story piece on the front of the building. The one other issue we had to deal with on second floor is we do need a second exit out of that second story space, so we're proposing a doorway be cut through into what is currently the legal library or the law library on second floor. That space is somewhat underutilized, it sounds like, at this point, so we can use that as an exit. Initially, we don't have to impact that space at all other than just the doorway that's there. The remainder of the second floor space stays the same. There's an existing break room and then, again, some jury rooms and judges' offices along that west side of the second floor. So all of those spaces stay unchanged. Let's see that. That really covers kind of the second floor space of that. Going forward, and this is a page really that I added that maybe was not in your initial packet of information we distributed last week, but I thought we'd better talk a few minutes about their existing space. They do obviously have some space on first floor of the Justice Center now. And let me see, I think it's about 3,300 square feet. I thought I had that noted. But really the plan with that space, these are the existing offices. We really aren't making any functional changes in that space. The one area we did talk about was potentially adding a restroom in that first floor space. There's a restroom directly above it, so we think it would be fairly easy to do that. But the majority of that space will be held for witness holding rooms, meeting rooms, pretrial meetings with both defendants and witnesses, and as well as some staff offices along the north side. And then also the open office area there will be more or less turned into an area where they can hold a staff meeting with their full 35 staff. Right now they have nowhere to do that, nowhere to perform that type of a meeting space. So that gives them a good large conference room area that they can use for that when they need to. We really just within the last month or so started to just look at some exterior configurations of how the space would look. We spent a lot of time working with plans and getting through that information. So we're really looking at infilling. You know, this is that courtyard space between or the entry vestibule now. So we're looking at that two-story space. The new entry doors are approximately in the same location as they are right now. And then tried to use some elements of the horizontal windows and the things that would tie the two buildings together. This would be the elevation that would face the sheriff's department and the jail on second floor. So that portion of the two-story lobby that's there would remain. This would be that area on the backside that is the Green Mile, and then the security and maintenance areas are mechanical and maintenance departments. And then essentially the north elevation that would face the north end. Again, if we're leaving that existing first floor space alone, we would bridge over the top of that and actually extend a couple of feet beyond, again, just to simplify the structural elements of not using that existing wall, but creating new structure beyond that that can carry that second floor load. So in three dimensions, more or less, this is kind of the volume of space we would be filling. Again, the one-story piece on the front that is the entry vestibule, kind of a canopy there or an extended cover over that entry that more or less picks up on the angled wall that exists in the existing Justice Center, kind of to keep that and, again, to try and tie those two buildings together. And then some skylight area here where we talked about that sliver of courtyard space that would remain, so that would be roofed over. And just a few quick images of how that could look. We're looking at maybe a more cost-effective skin on the exterior of either a metal panel or a cement fiber panel. It's basically lightweight. We don't have to support any weight on the existing first floor areas. There's some options there on colors and things. Simply, we looked at an option maybe where we use some of the fist scale metal that is on the existing building on that canopy again in an effort just to tie those two spaces together, the new and the old. Oops, I clicked the wrong button there. You get a little more maybe from the east, but similar images of similar materials and colors there. We we have done just kind of a preliminary schematic, very, very preliminary budget just based on square footage. We've got about 8,700 square feet of new space that we would be constructing, and some of that is the existing lobby space, but and using roughly $175 a square foot, we come up with about a $1.5 million construction cost. We've added costs for fees and then also costs for administrative things such as inspections and bid documents, things that would be done during construction. So we come to a total project cost of about $1.685 million. Again, that's very preliminary. We haven't done any real detailed takeoff, and that's kind of something we would probably recommend if we go forward, is we do a more detailed cost estimate with the cost consultants. We're seeing costs escalating on construction projects over the last 6 months particularly. And it's probably a hard thing. This is a difficult thing to maybe get a handle on just because we have such limited skin on the first floor. We're really enclosed, so it's cost per square foot is probably not the best long-term estimate strategy there. We should probably look at something with a more detailed takeoff. So that's kind of that view of the front, again, that we started with, and basically then what it could potentially look like in the future. So that's really what we have, and we're certainly happy to answer any questions. Between the four of us, we ought to be able to answer, I think, anything we come up with.
Well, Jeff, you did a phenomenal job pulling this together. It's been a really enjoyable process to get us to this point. I would like to have more certainty in exactly what happens from this point, but we don't have it right now. What we do have, as I see it, gentlemen, is if you recognize that we do have shortcomings in security and space and utilization of the existing building, we do have a great starting point for those conversations, and it's just funding has become an unknown as we look at moving forward with this. But Jeff, thank you very much. Cal, I know Cal put in lots and lots of hours to pull all this together. And Stephen and Jessica and Paul Fitzgerald have been great to work with as we work through this process, trying to pull something together. And I think we've got a plan here that really does address many of the concerns that we started with, and it updates this building into a highly functional, usable building for the long term. So, questions for Jeff?
No, I guess my thought process is more in the area of as the building is modified and changed to address not only the space but the entryway security challenges and so forth. I do think that we will need ongoing communication and discussion about the interior security things that need to be, you know, factored in and thought about as we move forward. Because we still have personnel that have contact with members of the public, and how, you know, we can maintain as secure a facility as possible as people are moving to and from within the building. And I believe if we somehow include that in our overall process, it's more of a selling point to our constituents, because we're more or less being mandated that we've got to do some things different when it comes to security.
Yeah.
Not just in the courthouse, but in all county facilities.
Right.
And so I want to ask that we continue to focus on that aspect of it as we, you know, plan forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really what we did, and maybe I breezed over that too quick, but we were looking at part of that first floor space was additional
right.
supervision and closed circuit.
I knew it was
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this would pull our IT all into one area. I think it streamlines some of the HVAC for that area. So we tried to take a lot of that into account, and Cal is really, really good at making sure that when we have an opportunity to address multiple issues, we do just that. So like I say, great starting point for us. Now we've got to figure out what our next steps are. And really the next step is to see what Governor Branstad does with the standings bill that's on his desk right now. Anything else for Jeff and Cal?
Just want to thank everybody for the hard work and all the time they put in on this. The whatever happens here in the future with what's on the governor's desk doesn't change the needs that Story County has. And in all reality, Stephen, your office was too small the day after you moved into it, and that hasn't changed any over the last 20 years. And it's not going to get better on its own. So I think maybe this board is going to have to change its priorities a little bit if things don't go the way we like them to go. But we've identified this need, and I think it also takes into consideration future growth. And I think that's maybe been lacked a little bit in some county facilities in the past. But I just want to thank you guys for all the work you've done.
Yeah, thank you.
And
I'd like to find
a shot to thank you. You got it. Yep.
Well, I just wanted to say on the record, thank you, Rick, for a personal thanks for me. I think that I owe you that. You have been keenly helpful in this regard. Not many people know that, but they should.
Well, it's very nice of you, and my commitment to you is we're not done. We've got some hurdles that we didn't see coming, but we're not done. There's recognition that a project like this is necessary, and I feel confident the three of us are going to continue to push ahead. If it's a funding issue, that's what the three of us are elected to figure out, are those funding issues, and so we're going to continue to push ahead. Jeff and Cal, thank you very much. Next item on our agenda deals with just this. It's discussion and consideration of a letter urging Governor Branstad to line item veto the section 15 of the standings bill, which deals exactly with court debt. Very basically, and I'll ask Jessica and Stephen to help me if I misstate this, very basically it's something that was put in to the standings bill at the last minute. Not a whole lot of conversation about it, at least very little that I saw any conversation about it, but it grants the state the right to enter into a contract with an outside collection agency who will basically have first swipe at doing some of these collections, rationale being some counties are doing a terrible job with some of these fines, recovery, and restitution issues. Story County is not one of those. As usual with Story County, and specifically with the Story County Attorney's Office, we're a leader. In fact, what we had identified and the way it got, the way 1.6, I think, was doable is by the time you look at what fines recovery is costing us compared to what we're bringing in for the people of Story County, over a 10-year period, we could handle doing some renovations for $1.6 million and taking care of the security concerns without any taxpayer funding. This would put that in jeopardy. I don't know for certain what impact that this would have on Story County, but the reality is if it's signed into law, we won't know for certain for a year or two what kind of impact it's going to have on Story County. I don't know that a letter from us is going to have any kind of dramatic impact on what the governor does, but I believe that it is worth the three of us weighing in on it and at least urging him to line item veto it and making our case. There has been a letter drafted. Jessica and Stephen were good enough to dig into that and drafted a letter that I like very well. What I'm asking you guys for is approval to go ahead and finalize a letter like that that expresses our concerns and get it to the governor in a timely fashion. Stephen, anything to add?
Yes, I'd like to read into the record the breakdown for fiscal year 2015 to date. We've collected $1,168,240.18 with approximately 1 month to go. And the breakdown of that amount of monies is $105,412.78 was paid in restitutions. That's paid back to victims of crimes to make them whole. $374,140.81 was paid to the state of Iowa. Now, that's without any overhead to the state of Iowa. That's clear money to them. And $351,990.46 was paid to Story County. The balance was applied to the sheriff's fees, room and board, and local surcharges. So, I have been told or been given snippets of what was represented to the governor and the legislature by the state court administrator. And I can't verify that at this point in time, but from what I've been told, that is a misrepresentation. Now, I know there are Iowa counties who have part-time county attorneys who have elected not to engage in this recovery, but those amounts of monies in those counties, I assume, would be relatively small compared to a larger county such as Story County. And I know other larger counties, such as Blackhawk County, Polk County, Linn County, Johnson County, collect proportionally even larger sums of money based on their population base. And so it's disturbing to me that we were not given the opportunity to present our side of the matter. And I have a suspicion that many judges are not aware of the matter, that this has taken on sort of a form that is unfortunate. And I don't know that the governor and the legislators are also fully informed. And it is bothersome to me that this is a last-minute legislative effort. Those kinds of measures are always suspect. And I would appreciate greatly if you would sign the letter. I fully understand that it's very difficult for the governor at this point in time. But I do think he needs to know, and I hope it will serve its purposes in informing him that it might not be quite as it has been represented to him.
Okay. And frankly, all I believe we should be asking for is to hold on and let's have time to talk about this before something like this is
right.
Put in. It was put in at the last minute. There was no real conversation about it. There was no real look, just anecdotes of how things were really going in the counties. And if the state of Iowa, both the courts and the legislative branch, if they determine it's in the best interest of Iowa to go down this road, that's super. I mean, even if it negatively impacts the counties, that's great. But at least be willing to have the conversation first rather than passing it and then having the conversation after the fact. That's what I believe we should be asking for. And I'd like to add one thing to what I would ask us, the action I would ask us to take, Dave, that whatever letter, if in fact you guys decide that we are going to send a letter, whatever letter we send, we also copy all of our judges so that they're aware of what's going on, or at least have the opportunity to be aware of what's going on and what our position is on it. Jessica, you drafted, took the first swipe at it. Stephen, I know you made some revisions. Anything to add?
Well, I just wanted to thank the board for your consideration of this matter. It's very important to our office, and I would urge you to go ahead and sign the letter showing support for a line item veto of this legislation. This legislation is bad for crime victims, it's bad for indigent defendants, and it's bad for local government. So thank you so much for your time.
And I will only add, first of all, I'm going to move support of us moving forward with the letter to the governor asking for the line item veto on this particular matter. And I would add one other caveat is I would like us to forward a copy of the letter to the Iowa Association of Counties. Our ISAC board, we do have representation from county attorneys serving there as well. And we've had a request from our legislative affairs person for county supervisors to reach out and also to communicate to the governor of the impact that this has. And so I would just like to have on record that, yes, Story County has done its part in due diligence. And here's just part of what we're trying to do to help inform the governor of what impact this would have on Story County.
I'll second the motion.
All right, so to paraphrase where we are on the motion that finalized version be drafted, put on Story County Board of Supervisors letterhead, signed by the three of us, with copies going to ISAC and our legislative representative in ISAC, our local judges, and I would just add one thing, that the finalized version of the letter be put on next week's agenda just as acknowledgement of here's what was sent. So we're approving putting the letter together.
Right.
Then I'd like to have it as part of the public record next week for the meetings. If that works with your motion,
that'd be fine. Yep.
You seconded it?
Yes.
Further discussion. Steve, anything to add before we move on?
No. Thank you.
Okay. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Expect to see something later this afternoon on your desk for your signature.
Make haste.
No public hearing items, departmental reports, emergency management, and we are privileged to have Melissa Spencer today. I'm waiting to see if Keith told you to read this word for word, or if you got carte blanche to just give us the high points. You show me.
Actually, he did tell me to read word for word, but in the interest of time, if you'd like me to shorten that, I certainly
can. I'd like you to do whatever you're comfortable with, Melissa.
Keith does send his apologies for not being available today. He is down in Des Moines helping with professional development of new emergency managers in the state of Iowa. We have continued to be very busy, again, this last quarter. We did have some responses. First off, in April 23rd, we responded to the grain elevator fire in Gilbert that made the news. One thing that we were able to really look at is interoperable communications, as we had agencies responding from all across Story County and Boone and Hamilton counties as well. The lessons we learned from this, and anytime we can test this, gives us the ability to apply this to any event where surrounding assets could respond to. Avian influenza still continues to be a hot button item. We've actually been in a planning mode here in Story County since April. We do not have any cases in Story County, thank goodness, but we did bring together a planning group on May 5th to look at the lessons learned with Northwest Iowa communities that have been dealing with this since the beginning. Keith also attended a meeting in Hamilton County to meet with their local chicken and turkey producers along with their board of supervisors to discuss their plans. We've continued to have ongoing conversations with the Hamilton County Board of Supervisors, who has been functioning as the emergency management coordinator for Hamilton County when their avian influenza cases took off. They have now hired somebody new and continue to work through their response. You know, looking at all these lessons learned, it definitely demonstrated to us that we need to be able to coordinate across jurisdictional and county lines. We're quickly finding that one farm can actually impact multiple counties. One thing for the board to consider that many counties have already taken under before they even had their first avian influenza is looking at their powers to restrict movement or access during emergencies. Many counties that didn't have ordinances in place previously, we're looking at what steps they can take to restrict that access, keep the public out of those areas, as well as making sure that there's no contamination that's spread from farm to farm. So that may be something that the board would want to look at, not only if we would have a case of avian influenza, but it's definitely something that could be applied to any future animal event that we could have.
Melissa, I'd like to see what some of these impacted counties have put in place. Get that in front of Jessica and see if there's somewhere we need to go. I'm going to tell you guys where my concern. Story County has been really, really fortunate to this point, but all signs point to this thing coming back in the fall when the temperatures turn cooler. I believe it's completely reasonable to think that at some point Story County will be impacted by this, and it just seems to me we need to have all our ducks in a row as far ahead of time as possible. So, Melissa, if you could secure any of the new ordinances that any of these impacted counties have put in, that would be a helpful starting point for us.
Yeah, I'll just follow up with that to you. One benefit of this is, again, we can apply this over any type of, not only animal type incident, but any incident in general. I will tell you the cases of avian influenza have slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
We are down to from three times a week meetings with Homeland Security to one day a week, and they are still going through the disposal process, which I see did make the news again this morning for some concerns in Mills County. everything has gone very smoothly in the counties that we're hearing, and again, that the spread has appeared to have slowed.
Absolutely, and in meeting with USDA last week, it just seems that their expectation is it is going to slow now, but real concerns over it coming back in the fall.
Yeah. On June 7th and 8th, maybe you may remember the overnight storms that rolled through. There were no watches warnings issued for Surrey County. However, in the following days, we were made aware of damages along Airport Road and South South Avenue, which resulted in about $11,000 worth of damage to Station 3 with doors and windows and some damage to the roof, and also some considerable tree damage to the state nursery. Through some follow-up with the National Weather Service, they actually did send somebody up to take a look at the damages of the nursery. They do believe there was a small tornado that actually spawned right there near that intersection, did the damage, lifted, and then missed the soccer grounds and may have done some additional tree damage.
Huh.
So that was something that had kind of came up since I had submitted the report. But it's just a good reminder, we are in the middle of our severe weather season. Not only do we need to have our plans for at home, but we also need to have plans for where we work on how we will receive those weather warnings and how we will shelter in the event of damaging winds and tornadoes. So planning, the hazard mitigation plan has reached its one-year mark and is due for all jurisdictions and participating agencies to review their strategies. And to submit any updates, changes to their strategies to the Emergency Management Office. Those were due back on June 15th. We have had a few responses roll in. The FAA strategies will then be on display through Story County Emergency Management webpage until July 15th. On July 15th, we'll host a public meeting to allow the planning team to gather additional public inputs on any changes. And then all final strategy updates will be due by August 15th. Our current hazard mitigation plan does allow us and participating jurisdictions to be eligible for federal mitigation dollars. So now is really the time for the Surrey County Administration to take a look at the strategies that are in place and make any changes or additions to take advantage of future funds. We hosted a continuity planning for rural governments class through the Rural Domestic Preparedness Consortium on April 4th. This was free of charge. Leanne Harder, the county outreach manager, did attend. And we really hope it will help her as she has been tasked with developing the all hazards continuity plans for the county. We will continue to support her and give her any tools and assistance that we can. But it is essential for her to have those continuity plans so Story County government can keep running in the time of disaster. Public access to information is vital during a disaster. Keith was asked to work with KHOI Radio in Ames to review their disaster plan and look at enhancing their disaster preparedness. As a follow-up, Keith and myself will actually be doing a monthly radio spot on disaster preparedness, so that was a nice benefit to come out of that. A lot of exercises went on this last quarter. We worked with the Partners Group at the Surrey County Sheriff's Office to participate in the induction exercise. We had the ability to view all 3 days of exercises and really look at how the Sheriff's Office and volunteer organizations like RSVP will work together to work through a child abduction or any type of abduction. It was also a good reminder for those entities that emergency management does have some tools they can bring to the table that can have a positive impact on an incident like this. We did participate in two exercises on communications. One was a state-level exercise with state and federal partners at Camp Dodge. The second was a controlled elevator burn in the city of McCallsburg. We also were, again, able to test our communications with surrounding agencies and mutual aid. We were able to bridge VHF radio systems into the Surrey County 800 radio systems through a bridging unit that we have with us 24/7. They were partially successful. We are continuing to look at how we can build our capacity. But really what needs to happen is there needs to be some extensive communication planning on how we can truly optimize the communication system that we have. Keith has reached out to the Surrey County Sheriff's Office and Ames Dispatch Centers to really start a conversation and really look at those communication pathways. We also have been working very diligently with the Surrey County Amateur Radio Emergency Services folks to plug them into the communication system more so than they have been in the past. We have an exercise with DuPont and the Bay of First Responders. DuPont will be coming online hopefully towards the fall and wanted to test their hazardous materials response and general emergency response procedures and how they can connect with external resources. We had good participation, and it was really great to see how a partnership between local business and first responder agencies can really address that community resilience issue. We do have some after action items that we are continuing to work through, but it was a successful exercise. Our biggest project looking ahead is we have a requirement from Iowa Homeland Security to complete a full-scale exercise in 2017. And what that means is it's actual live as it happens, and we're going to be removing a lot of equipment. We actually have to start that planning process now because it will take a good year and a half to develop that exercise. It will involve a wide range of responders, jurisdictional executives, and other community assets. We ask that if we come to you, we ask for your support as we try to bring personnel in and get this exercise developed. Your investment in this exercise is essential to ensure Story County is prepared to move a large scale. So there's a very quick reader session.
You did a great job.
Nice job.
Questions for Melissa? Nope. We here in Story County, we're fortunate that we have a really, really strong emergency management office. We've got an active commission, which is really, really good. We are really fortunate that we have Melissa providing the services that she provides. Unbelievably good backup for Keith. Melissa, thanks for all you do.
Yep.
Thanks, Melissa.
Next is County Outreach and Special Projects Departmental Report. Leanne Harder. Hi, Leanne.
Hey.
Okay, in the interest of time, I'm going to try to breeze through this as best as I can. It was on the agenda for today. This is a review from March through June of 2015. I meant to do a whole scale year review, annual review, since my work program is a fiscal year, but I'll do that in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Just quickly some highlights. I did work with emergency management to put together a YouTube video, and I thought I had a link, but it won't work. But it's for the Story County Iowa Alerts. It's one of the three videos we have out there on the YouTube channel. It's meant to assist someone that really is trying to register for Story County Iowa Alerts, the step-by-step process. I think it's 5 minutes in length, not too cumbersome. Also did happily receive notice that we are a recipient of the 2015 NACO Achievement Awards, and then did just some odds and ends with presentations, worked on a real estate, how real estate works presentation, and kind of refreshed the recorder's office brochure. Continue on that same time period, years of service plaques are need to be updated again, so we do have some more to add, but also did a career fair with the Nevada High School, worked on some team building with County Attorney's Office, and we'll follow up hopefully this month or next with that, and then the technical assistance to communities. The image is up there is what Rick used for the 2015 priorities, federal priorities, to take to D.C. last week. Also, in the past quarter, done quadrant meetings with Roland, Collins, Ziering, and Huxley or in those locations. I've also been attending city council meetings and school board meetings. I still have a handful, I think three. I've had a great degree of difficulty getting scheduled, but I have, I think, about five left to attend over the next 3 or 4 weeks, and then to do the revisions to the facade grant and have that kicked off. Also, very happily enjoyed the morning of the Citizen of the Year celebration, and we'll work on getting the application materials and out on that for this coming fall. Had a very long week with Cubbyville USA. Cubbyville was the name selected for the 2015 Box City event with Nevada Multi-Age Community. They are upwards of 280 students now. So we had 280 homes on Cubbyville and then another 140 structures. So actually in total about 460 structures in Cubbyville.
Anything in the floodplain?
Nope. Floodplain was restricted. and it's amazing how the kids understand that. What was really fun was the open house. It was a really not the nicest weather, so we weren't sure of the turnout. We had probably 400 or 500 people.
That's outstanding.
That evening. And thankfully, the teachers let my son continue the tradition doing the ribbon cutting. So that's been a fun tradition for the harder kids to be able to do. CRS, Community Rating System, application process has really been taking up a lot of time this past quarter. Verification visit was held in April with the ISO representative. And then I had a window of time to present additional materials. That binder was about 4 inches thick that went back on June 14th, and she did let me know last Wednesday that they received it. And now we're in the full channel of review. It'll take up to 6 months. A lot of GIS analysis went into doing this, so I have wonderful numbers on the amount of structures in the floodplain, amount of acreage that's parkland that's in the floodplain, our Greenbelt Conservation District that's in the floodplain, a wealth of knowledge that may or may not be used. National and County Government Month was celebrated throughout April. Had the proclamation. We had a couple open houses. I tweeted and put on Facebook a fact of the day. I think there were only 2 days I missed on the weekends just because I forgot to actually email myself the fact of the day. But had some updates on what the townships are in Story County, some quizzes and stuff like that. C2C plan really is in full swing. June 18th, 23rd, 25th, and 30th are open house, are public input sessions. We have live a survey, which I hope this works. No, it's not going to work. I forgot to connect it. There's a survey. If you go to c2cplan.com, it takes about 10 minutes. Help us spread the word. Last time I checked, we had about 4,800 likes or views, I'm sorry, of the survey on our Facebook site, but today they shared what 580 individuals have taken the survey. The demographic that we're really short in response levels from, however, is the young adults. So if you do have young adults, you know, the 12 to 17 that are in your family, household, friends, encourage them. It's actually not that cumbersome.
12 to 17 is a young adult?
12 to 19, yeah. If you read the language of books, those are young adult readers. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way. 12 to 19. That demographic is really where we would like to hear. It's a 20-year plan, mm-hmm. and you know, they have a great vested stake in that next 20 years. Youth and young adult is how we'll say it. Training opportunities I've been fortunate to take part in, as Melissa said, that continuity of government on April 4th. And then a couple weeks ago, did some social media training with emergency management and really trying to figure out a way to, on the Joseph Story website or Facebook presence and Twitter, to make sure I get the emergency management information out there as best I can. And then I did officially graduate from University of Oklahoma Economic Development Institute after attending that a week in May in Nashville.
So the Oklahoma University Economic Development Institute was in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay. Want to make sure I got that right.
Well, the online courses, the institute's in Norman, Oklahoma.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. And everything, that was the first chance I'd actually attended the institute. Everything else I had done online on my own. And I think I'm one of very few that have accomplished it that
Outstanding.
Way.
Outstanding.
KOOPCOG kickoff is well underway. Homebase Iowa program will go into effect July 1st. County news, they've been kind of lengthy over the past few months, and our story was released in June. The road ahead, I won't read all that, so just some highlights. Working with Joe to do the IRVM signage. I've put together a database of all of our home business permits and conditional use permits, and now I've taken the time and found resources for entrepreneurs and small business owners, local, state, and federal resources, that those will be packaged and sent to those individuals. We're really trying hard to get the cemetery training scheduled, but that's been complicated. Local Foods Plan will be coming back to you. Really starting to kick off our Leadership Nevada session coming this fall. I'll be doing some vertical assets inventory. This is part of that Connect Iowa technology plan that was approved by the board. Doing staff training on Floodplain 101 in August. A big one will be revisiting the strategic plan work that we started this spring. Now that we've gone through budgets and into the new fiscal year, we need to bring that back. And then looking at some different programming. I'm not going to go through the next slides. The next few slides are just the work program for next fiscal year. It just talks about the capital improvements plan, the communications plan, Connect Iowa, floodplain management program, economic development, facade grant, local foods planning, miscellaneous. That's where nothing else really fits. It goes under miscellaneous. COOPCOG and urban renewal area. Just some quick statistics, and I'm going to come back to my work program in a minute. Social media, I'm now using TweetDeck and Hootsuite, which are great programs to help manage what's happening with our Twitter feeds and our Facebook. You know, Hootsuite, you can have both out there and see if there's any trends occurring. In the past few months, I have put out 75 tweets. It's not, we have it set up that automatically feeds our agendas, but this is just what I've tweeted. And 42 posts, and again, that C2C survey reached almost 4,800 people. We have the YouTube channel on Story County, Iowa, and IT has set up Deliverate, which is social sharing statistics. Those numbers are delivered weekly, and it's a great way to see how our followers are increasing, decreasing posts and clicks. Floodplain management program, other than the CRS verification follow-up and intense work on our website, I've issued 5 pre-construction phase permits, and I actually have 10 floodplain permits or so to issue that have been finaled through. Questions on that particular, is there anything that I need to be adding to my work program that you have not, that you've come across or would like to see happen?
I think you're doing a great job. I think your work program is full. I hope we don't have anything to add to it. I do have a question. Where are we on the possibility of interns to video these meetings and other things happening in the county and get some content on that YouTube channel that you work so hard to put up?
I have, that's a good question. I do have a draft job description that I sent over to Iowa State University. It's called, I actually forget what it's called, Communication and Social Media Intern is what it's called.
Okay.
Send that over to individual Iowa State. She's reviewing it right now. And then once school gets up and, like, we get to August, then they'll start officially posting it. But I want to get her feedback and then get the job description approved through the county process, then have it up and going on their end.
Super. Thank you. Questions for Leanne?
No, I can see now when she ever gets a chance to take a deep breath, I'd be interested in a little tutorial on this tweeting and this other things that she's doing, just so I can kind of, you know, see how to use it.
Yeah, we need to get you up into the Twitter age. I'll just say, I think, as I say, anytime Leanne comes to give us a report, this is one of the great moves we made. Can you imagine that we didn't used to have a county newsletter, that we didn't used to do an R story kind of thing? And you know, the old adage of leading a horse to water, some people still aren't going to get the information, but it's not for lack of trying that people aren't going to have the information. Leanne, you're doing a great job, and thank you for all the different hats you wear and the job you do.
Great.
Anything else for Leanne?
No, thanks.
No other reports. That leads us to public forum number 2, opportunity for Drew to comment on items not on today's agenda. We won't take any action, but we may do so in the future. Drew, any comments? All right. Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Paul?
Passed.
Wayne?
Passed.
I'll just say that had a great trip to Washington, D.C., largely thanks to Drew Camp. Really, really well organized. Really, really 3 productive days out there. It was really nice to almost be looked at with shock when we talked to our representatives and others in the federal bureaucracy, and we weren't really asking for anything specific. We were just talking about how well things are going in Story County, making sure they were aware of what our priorities are, what kind of things we see on the horizon, a trip that is highly valuable, I believe, to Story County. But my thanks to Drew and the AEDC for putting on a great event, and I was glad to be part of it. Thank you, Drew. Announcements from Supervisors Paul.
No.
Wayne.
Just want to remind everyone that the Dickens Lake groundbreaking will be this Saturday at 10:30 up in Ziering. Hopefully we'll have a large turnout and should be a fun day.
Outstanding. And looking forward to that. I will be in town for that, but that'll be the only day I'll be in town here for the next 2 weeks. So I'll see you gentlemen after the 4th of July, except for when I see you up at Dakin's Lake.
Yep.
And thanks for everything. With that, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.